Thought I saw Jane in the audience, there she is, Jane Ann, okay. Paper five C. Take it away.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. The agenda paper 5C is a non-investment entities application of the equity method for investment entity investees. This is a new issue to the committee. The interpretation committee received a request to clarify how an entity that is not an investment entity should apply equity method accounting for its investments in joint venture that is an investment entity. Please take a look at agenda paper 5C and page 2. This is the structure of the submission. So there is an entity A, which is neither an investment entity nor venture capital. And entity A has joint venture investment in entity I. And entity I is an investment entity. And entity I has subsidiary B and associate C. As entity I is an investment entity, entity B and C are measured at fair value on the financial statement of entity I. We did analysis through some steps. First of all, we noted that if joint venture or associate has its own subsidiaries or associate, the financial statement of these entities should be aggregated in accordance with paragraph 27 of IAS 28. So the financial statement of entity I, entity B, and entity C should be aggregated instead of treating separately. Secondly, we noted that entity A cannot take fair value option to the group account of entity I. Fair value option can be chosen only if entity A is venture capital or entity A has venture capital subsidiary which hold entity I. That is not the case in the submission because non-venture capital entity A directly hold investment in joint venture I. So the question is whether entity A can equity pick up entity I's fair value-based financial statement. The staff's conclusion is no. The IASB made a very clear decision that fair value is relevant for an investment entity because of their special business model. If you go higher in the group and the investor is not an investment entity, they do not have the special business model and so are not entitled to the exception. And also their decision is a decision to keep the fair value option under IAS 28 is consistent with the decision. If entity is venture capital or entity has venture capital subsidiary, that is also a special business model and the fair value accounting would be justified. And if we allow the equity pickup of fair value-based financial statement of associate or joint venture to non-venture capital entity, we believe this will open the door for the significant expansion of the fair value accounting under IAS 28. Before the introduction of the investment entity amendment, only if entity A is venture capital or an entity A has a venture capital subsidiary. In addition, entity A choose fair value option and states so on the footnote disclosure of financial statement, then entity A could have chosen fair value accounting under IAS 28. However, if we allow equity pickup of fair value-based financial statement of investment entities, the entity A can achieve the same accounting without having venture capital subsidiary or state fair value as a footnote on accounting policy. And if footnote disclosure is just saying that the company is choosing equity method, but the real accounting is similar to fair value option, I think that is misleading to users. And I'd like to ask three questions separately to the committee. First, I'd like to ask committee that if committee agree with the staff's conclusion that not allowing equity pick up of fair value based investment entity financial statement is appropriate. That is the first question. And if yes to the first question, does the interpretation committee agree that not taking this issue onto its agenda? In other words, the paragraph 35 and 36 for the uniform accounting policy requirement provide sufficient guidance in this case. And also, if yes to first two questions, I'd like to hear comment on the tentative agenda decision on Appendix A. Thank you.
Hey, before I go to the committee, Jane, you had some thoughts on this. Did you want to have anything that you wanted to add, or are we set to go?
Yes, if I could just take
Please
a minute.
Do.
I mean, I think this issue stems from the board's decision, which was a very clear and intentional decision, that the roll-up of the fair value or the pick-up of the fair value only applies if the entity higher in the group is itself an investment entity. As Koichiro said, it was the fair value accounting was given because of the special business purpose of an investment entity. And the board very clearly decided if a higher entity within the group was not an investment entity, the fair value would not roll up to that higher entity. That was very clearly discussed in the context of subsidiaries. The board touched on it also in the context of associates and decided that they were not going to touch IAS 28 for the investment entities. So the amendments for investment entities changed absolutely nothing in IAS 28. So the staff's recommendation, I think, is very consistent. As we were talking yesterday's session about consistency with the board's decision, we think that this recommendation is consistent with the board's decision not to allow the roll-up of the fair value option if it wasn't there before. Thank you.
Andrew, you're reaching for a button there.
Thank you. I disagree with the staff recommendation on this, partly because I actually don't much like the answer. I think it's potentially impractical. The particular case in point here, it's a joint venture, so perhaps the higher level investor, the reporting entity, has got enough information to get consolidated statements from that joint venture. We're also dealing with associates here, a rather lower degree of influence. It's certainly burdensome and potentially impractical in some cases, so that's my main concern. Part of the argument here seems to be that to apply equity accounting to the investment entity compliant financial statements of the investee will be the same as applying the fair value option. Now, I agree in many cases it might be similar, but it would not be the same. For example, if there are some investment services taking place in the investee, you know, your share of those would be recognized under the equity method, whereas they would not be under the fair value option. So I don't have any doubt that the rejection note says the request is whether you're required to apply the equity method. I think you're clearly required to apply the equity method. It's clear that the starting point is the IFRS compliant financial statements of the investee, which in this case will apply investment entity specialized accounting. So the real crux of the matter is, do we think we need to unwind the specialized accounting because of the requirement for consistent accounting policies? I don't think it is that clear, that particular question. Certainly in IFRS 10, we have a requirement for accounting policy alignment, but nonetheless, the board felt it necessary. They didn't think that got you there to unwinding the specialized accounting for our higher level non-investment entity parents, so they made it clear that unwinding is required. I don't quite see how we can then go to IAS 28 and say, without such an explicit requirement, accounting policy alignment forces you to consolidate for the purpose of equity accounting. Generally, when we look at accounting policy alignment in the context of IAS 28, I think we're looking at different accounting policy choices. I'm not saying that's necessarily the only way to read it, but I think that's generally in practice how it's thought about. In this case, the investee hasn't made an accounting policy choice. It's complied with IFRS. So overall, I don't think it's terribly clear. If I had a choice on practicality grounds, I'd go the other way. But I don't think we can get there necessarily through a rejection note in either direction, given the lack of clarity.
Your concerns about practicality, though, wouldn't those apply generally any time we're trying to do the equity method to an associate and you don't perhaps have the ability to get the information? Isn't that always a problem with the equity method?
Well, if the investee is applying IFRS and is a parent, it will consolidate, unless it's an investment entity.
Well, you may not have the visibility into the accounting policy process.
I've always had the concern with the requirement to align accounting policy choices that the 21% owner may not even have access to the information to know what accounting policy choices the investee has made, yet, too bad, you still have to align.
That was my question.
Yeah.
Okay. Tricia, board member privilege, and then I'm going to circle the board here. Circle the table.
How can you assert that the investor has significant influence if it can't even get the financial information it needs for its financial statements?
Board members.
But being a board member, but not, you should be able to get information. I just don't see how you can assert their significant influence if
there
you
are
can't
many
get
companies.
Okay, we got everybody talking at once here. Scott, your mic is on, so you go ahead.
Luck of the draw. just to respond to Patricia, I mean, there are many situations I have run into where, you know, the company that has 4 out of 9 board members nonetheless does not have the right to dive into the general ledger and figure out whether investee reserves fully for all accounts receivable over 90 days old the same way investor does. I mean, they don't have that level of access to the information. You can argue that if you don't have that level of access, you shouldn't be applying the equity method. But boy, you've just let a lot of people out of the equity method if that's the case.
Okay, let's circle the table then. Reinhardt?
I agree with the comments that Andrew has made, and I think just to elaborate, besides the point on practicality, to elaborate on one of the points that Andrew made, I'm not sure it's entirely clear that that IAS 8 or IAS 28, when it talks about uniform accounting policies, contemplates a situation like this where you've got a basis of accounting, fundamental basis of accounting for an investment entity, to say that that has to be harmonized. So as I say, I disagree with the staff's conclusion for those reasons. I think it's something that would need to be clarified.
So my objective, if I want to obtain a particular accounting, is to make absolutely certain that I only own 49%. Because then I can say it's an associate and I can roll up the fair value accounting, but God forbid I own 51%, because then I can't roll it up. Is that what you're saying? Right.
Not under IFRS.
Not. Anyway, but let's go back to the old think of 49-51 for a minute, Reinhardt.
So, if in that circumstance you have just significant influence as opposed to the power to direct the activities, and are accounting for on the equity method, I'm not entirely convinced that the line of logic would flow that you need to conform those accounting policies. Now, you may say that leads to structuring opportunities, which I think you're pointing out, that you may want to go to 49. But as I say, I don't think the link is that clear.
Okay. Then the question is going to be, if the link isn't that clear, should it be made clear, or should we have a different answer? We can get there in a minute. Joanna?
Well, I do agree with the staff conclusion. But perhaps a question of Jane as much as anything else first, because you said the board were very, very clear, consolidation, it's not rolled up. but they decided not to do anything with associates. So they were very strong on that view. Why did they decide not to do anything on associates? Because if you take Andrew's point that it's, you know, they put it into 10 to say you mustn't, you've got to get rid of it, you can't roll it up, and you take Andrew's comment and Reinhardt's comment, why would they not have put it into 28?
I think in the conversations, and I'm looking at Patricia who was in the board discussions there, the conversation was very focused, obviously, because this is an exception from consolidation. Yes. That was the entire purpose of the amendments. There was a conversation about equity accounting and associates, and the decision was that the feeling at the time was there was no need to change anything in IS 28 because this is an exception from consolidation, quite separate from equity method accounting. But obviously the intention, I believe, of the board was exactly the same, whether you're consolidating or equity accounting. And my slight concern of the conversation around this table is I'm feeling that it's just challenging the very long-standing requirement of IS 28 that you have to have uniform accounting policies. And I can't see a difference, a big difference, between the scenario if you're in an investment entity situation or if you're not. I think the same argument that I'm hearing applies across the board. So this is no longer an investment entities question. This is a question about something that's been in IS 28, certainly as long as I can remember.
Which is why I'm actually absolutely supportive of where you are, because I am very firmly of the view that 28 is very, very clear. And notwithstanding some of the difficulties of board members or whatever, but as Patricia says, if you've got significant influence, and sorry, as a now practicing board member, if I do not damn well know the accounting policies, boy, I should not be sitting on that board. So I truly believe that that's what 28 means, and therefore to me the logical extension of this is that you have to back it out. But I guess my question of you was, yes, it's been made explicit in 10, but it's not there now, so was there a reason for that? But otherwise I would say, yep, we should either reject or we should make it explicit in 28 as well.
I mean, I think the reason it was made so explicit in IFRS 10 was that it was quite a controversial decision. There were a lot of people unhappy with that decision, and really, I think, belt and braces, the decision was made to make it explicit to so that there was no comeback, and that decision
was
as unpopular as it was at the time, was made very clear.
Yeah. So to me, it's whether or not we should extend that to 28 or whether we can do it by rejection.
Martin?
I do not like the view of the staff, however, I agree with it. I mean, we heard the word practicality. I see that this might be painful and burdensome. On the other hand, we have the materiality. And if it really turns out not to be so material, who cares? However, if I have a situation where I have 3, 4, 5 of such constructions and everyone uses a different accounting policy, well, my information get diluted, and therefore, in a way, I have to fix it.
Laurent?
I'm not disagreeing with the technical analysis. I'm strongly arguing that this is not practical at all, because a key difference in the situation before and today is that before there was already consolidated financial statements prepared, whereas today there will no longer be a requirement to have consolidated statements prepared. And so how do you do the line-by-line consolidation when you don't have the information? And even if you're a board member at the associate level, the company is in compliance with IFRS. How can you force them to prepare information on a consolidated basis, particularly in the light of the discussions we had yesterday, where you don't want to force intermediate entities to prepare consolidated accounts when they are not investment entities themselves. So I would argue that you can have the requirement as you have, but amend the standards to take account a practicability exemption from preparing or applying equity accounting if you can't access information in order to prepare that type of information. This is what I would argue for. And I would also note that up until now, IAS 28 allowed to keep venture capital companies' fair value information for associates. So just up until recently, the board had acknowledged that you may not have uniform accounting policies in preparing consolidated accounts when you had associates that were venture capital entities. You were not required to unwind, and the board had already acknowledged for cost-benefit reasons that you could keep what the venture capital associate was doing in their financial statements. So I'm asking for the status quo here for associates and joint ventures only.
But that's what we're that's recommending is the status quo. If you could have got the fair value roll up before through the venture capital fair value option in IAS 28 already, you still have it now. The issue is that in the scenario given, you didn't have the fair value option before, and what the staff recommendation is saying is we just make it clear that you still don't have it because you've never had it
before.
Okay. The structure of the
anyway, so I'm saying it's just impracticable to implement, and the situation has changed compared to before and today in terms of information that entities will get from their associates.
Alan, and then staff wanted to come in.
Just going to respond a little bit to question about why didn't we address that at the time, and we have tried very hard to hold a very firm line on this, and that we know that the equity method's not ideal. We don't know, it's conflicts now, we don't know, we state quite clearly an associate is not part of a group, but then we imply that the accounting is as if it's part of the group with a one-line consolidation. We jump between the two things, so we know that. We also, when we developed the definition of control, we developed a very, what we think is a clear principle-based definition, but we know that we've got this almost bright line of 20% for associates. We were asked to change that and be more principled about it, but we were worried that by doing that one little piece that we're and not touching everything else, that we're implicitly endorsing one-line consolidation and so on. We've tried very hard almost not to answer these questions because you have to make a choice and go down its measurement or its one-line consolidation. And so what we've tried to do is pull those into a bigger project. You should see in May, going to the board, the first papers that will go down two threads. One is what should the application of the equity method be, in other words, the mechanics, and tell you right now that our thinking is it should be clearly a measurement basis, and there are a lot of consequences of that. It would mean a lot of interpretation requests would go away, actually. The harder question is who should actually use that, and which is what is the definition of associate, or without prejudging where we're going, is it significant influence that really matters, or actually how you're intending to realise the your ownership interest, which is where we got to with IFRS 9, for example. So there's some quite fundamental issues, but the first ones are seeing if we can simplify and clarify it, whether it's a measurement or a one-line consolidation. So it's one of those things, it's almost like, I agree with the staff analysis, this is where we get to, but it's almost like I wish we could have some soft way of saying, you know, they didn't change the requirements, period, rather than saying you have to go and change the policies. But it is what it is at the moment.
Yeah, thank you. So I totally understand the practical difficulty and unwinding financial statement. At the same time, if investing in the investment entity associate is something related to the company's business model, I think the company may have the venture capital subsidiary. And if company invests through the venture capital subsidiary, company can still choose the fair value option, and company can simply use the fair value-based financial statement. So I don't think, you know, it always requires unwinding. If company has venture capital subsidiary and if invests through the venture capital subsidiary, do not necessarily require unwinding.
One of my mentors in standard setting would say this baby is ugly. Scott?
I think I agree with a lot of what's been said. I think that the answer in the staff paper is where the literature gets you. I don't think it's an easy read to get there, and I would prefer to clarify it through an annual improvement. I think this is the right answer, and frankly, the only answer you can get to in the literature, but it was a lot harder to get there than it ought to be. So my preference would be, rather than a rejection notice, to do an annual improvement. Regarding the concerns about practicability, I have the same concerns, and long have, regarding the requirement to synchronize accounting policies. I don't think this makes it particularly harder. The differences are going to be greater than in other cases. But quite frankly, if you have the ability to get the information, you have the ability to get the information. You just have to make more changes. Most of my clients that have investments in associates or joint ventures and are using IFRS, basically when they made their investment, knowing what the accounting requirements were, they secured a commitment to be able to get the information. If you think ahead, you can certainly do that here as well. You know, where it becomes potentially impractical is the company that either didn't think ahead or thought ahead and read the standards the wrong way and thought they were going to be able to just roll up the fair value information, and so they didn't secure that commitment, and now they'll have to go argue for it. I feel bad for them, but I feel bad for anybody that has to do defined benefit pension accounting as well. and we don't let them out of it. So, you know, I think the staff has gotten to the right place, but I would prefer a clarification through an annual improvement.
John, and then I think we'll try and figure out how to put the question here.
I think where the staff paper has got to is sort of consistent with, I think, the intentions of the board in the roll-up issue. So I do think it's probably that what the intention was, even if not debated. I mean, I am concerned at the practicality. I think that issue exists for equity accounting normally. I just think this multiplies the practicality because the information has now not been produced for financial reporting at the level of the associate. So I think it does actually increase the practical problems which already exist with equity method accounting. I do think that a clarification is needed, though, because I'm not like Reinhardt, I'm not convinced that it's a uniform accounting policy issue. I think the investment entity accounting is the accounting that's adopted by investment entities. If I equity account that, there's an argument I'm picking up that policy because that's the appropriate policy for an investment entity to apply. But I am concerned at the structuring, so I think a clarification that you are required to unwind it I would support.
Don, and then Tony.
Yes.
And then Charlotte.
Thank you. Discussing this, this was with FRAG staff rather than in the technical experts group ahead of the meeting. One of the things that came out was they thought it would be worth elaborating further in the analysis on the relationship between this and paragraph 18 of IAS 28, which has already been mentioned several times. But you know, the basic understanding is that this the use of the fair value option that's allowed there in paragraph 18 as an exemption from the equity method for these joint ventures, unit trusts, and similar entities, including investment-linked insurance funds. You know, these are entities where we think they're basically using a sort of fair value-driven basis in their accounting. And so it would be helpful to more clearly articulate the relationship between this exemption and the investment entities and why that they would be different and why they should be accounted for in different ways. And they just thought that the analysis in the staff paper was not sort of very helpfully developed in that regard. So they'd like to see that elaborated further. And then they also raised the same points that we've been hearing a lot about practicability issues. Thank you.
Tony?
I guess I share some of the other concerns. I don't agree with the staff's conclusion. I don't think it's clear from the standard at all. I think we say in lots of circumstances, control and significant influence are different things. So the board has said if you've got control, you don't roll up. I don't think it necessarily follows if you have significant influence, you don't roll up. So I don't think from a sort of a consistency of accounting policies situation, this is like for like. They are two very different situations, control and significant influence. And so I could read it to say, I'm applying IFRS, I'm applying consistent policies, this is appropriate for my associate, I equity account what my associate has done, which I think is the same point that John made. So I really don't think it's clear. And I think I could get to either conclusion through the standard. And I just want to echo everything else. I think there's a world of difference between taking a set of consolidated financial statements and asking for some information to tweak the policies before you do your equity accounting, and a situation where the associate is accounting on a fair value basis, may obtain cash flow information or whatever to support that, but the underlying investee may not prepare IFRS financial statements, may not be required to file statutory financial statements at all. And so the ability to be able to get the information to do a line-by-line consolidation may just be completely impractical. I say it's a world of difference between that and looking at a set of IFRS financial statements that have been consolidated and saying, I need to change this policy or that policy where there's a choice. So I guess my sense is perhaps debate an annual improvement, but then debate which way that improvement goes.
Charlotte?
I agree with a lot of what's being said. I think I wanted to come back to what the staff said, because at the moment, if I read it, it does read like it's almost shutting down the use of the IS 28 exemption of the fair value, which is used differently than the investment entity. They're not necessarily the same things, an investment entity and the sort of the pool of entities by which you can use the venture capital exemption under IS 28. And I don't think it's clear that you don't intend to shut that down. When I read it this first time, I thought you intended to get rid of that as well. So.
Yeah. Let me go to the phones first and then bring Martin in. Sandy, anything to add?
I guess I agree with the staff's conclusion. I don't like the answer, but I mean, I think that we didn't care for the answer that you would unwind the fair value accounting up above in the consolidated financial statements that the board made. So I mean, I think that it's consistent with what the board decided. We may not like it, but I don't find that it's inconsistent. I mean, I agree with all the hassles and appreciate them, but I just don't find it inconsistent. I think the staff's conclusion is consistent with what the board decided.
Luca?
No comment.
Okay. Luca, I'm going to, in a minute, ask for a vote, so I'll go back to the phones on that. Shelley?
Nothing to add, thanks.
Okay. Let's do Martin, and then John, and then I'd really like to wrap this.
I still have difficulties to see the difference to ordinary, say, equity accounting, because also if I have an ordinary equity investment, and this entity is not on IFRS or a similar international GAAP and completely out of, ordinary accounting, I might have the same issues and challenges to align accounting policies and adjust the figures. So I guess if one really says, it is impracticable, we have to discuss under which circumstances we see reasons for impracticability and, combine these two topics and not just focus on the topic we have here, because these challenges we also have in ordinary equity or with ordinary equity investments in practice. And I guess you can all affirm this.
Okay, John?
I just want to come back on whether that's obvious or not. I think it's not that clear personally. I think in practice, when you look at the investee and you do an equity pickup, you could very well conclude that the investee is a different business altogether and retain the accounting policy of the investee under the equity pickup method. But more so on Tony's point about practicality, I think it's really a problem that is bigger, because what you have to do is you have to walk in and say, well, you don't prepare a consolidated financial statement, you only have the fair value financial statement, but I need consolidated financial statement for my own account. And there's no way you can walk in, usually, based on my experience, you can walk in and say, I want those financial statements to be prepared for me. The answer might very well be no. And it doesn't mean you don't have significant influence. I am sorry about that. I think significant influence is much larger than preparation of the accounts. So I think there is a real practicality issue. There is a difference, as Tony said, there's a difference between saying, you know, you recognize your sales upon delivery. I recognize them 3 days before deliveries. Please provide me some additional information. Then sometimes you try to guess what the reconciliation would be, and you have a good approximation, and there you go with it. In a fair value measurement method, you can't guess what the consolidated accounts would be. So I'm struggling between those facts and the general requirement to align the policy to have a more understandable accounts. But personally, irrespective of what the board has said, I would say retain the fair value in equity pickup would be the right answer. But I understand that this is not the position of the board.
Okay, let me see if I can parse the questions this way. I've heard with regard to the staff's view that this follows from the literature, setting aside the fact that the baby is ugly, I've heard two views. I've heard a couple of people say, no, it's not obvious. So the first question is, as Joanna, Scott, and a couple of others put it, and the staff puts it, does this follow from a reading of the literature? So that's a yes or no. Or is the literature unclear? So with regard to the does it follow, how many support that view? On the phone, Sandy?
The question was, does it follow?
Does it follow from a reading of the literature?
My hand is up on that, yes.
Luca?
My hand is up.
Okay. Six. That's a tie. I guess then we have to say that something needs to be done. Now, is the preferred course of action A, that we think that the answer can be clarified, but the practicability issues are sufficient that we ought to throw it into Alan's project? Or B, that we can clarify it and should annual improvement or whatever? So A is the practicality issues in this case are sufficient to look to the larger project on the equity method and leave the answer unresolved. Or B, to proceed with an annual improvement amendment, whatever, to satisfy the lack of clarity. Okay, I've got a lot of people who don't like that phraseology. So, John?
Just to add, I think there's another debate, is whether equity pickup is a measurement method or whether it's consolidation.
Well, that's the project for Alan.
No, but the answer might depend on that. If it's consolidation, then you have to align with the boards in consolidation. But if it's a measurement method, I think the answer might be very well different.
Well, it certainly would be.
I think so.
Okay. Joanna?
So, and I think the way you worded your first question, and I think I would word it slightly differently, and I think would then satisfy John, to say that because we are unclear, forget the practicality thing, and because this other project is happening that is going to determine or help to determine whether equity accounting is measurement or consolidation, should we just defer it and leave it to Alan's project? So forget the first bit you put at the front, because that would be I would answer yes to that question, if you see what I mean. So I'm suggesting you slightly change the emphasis of your question.
What I think you're saying is answering the question needs resolution of whether it's measurement or a one-eye consolidation. I can quote you out IS 39 that implies it's measurement. I can quote you out IS 28 that implies it's one-eye consolidation.
Yeah.
And so to solve that, it's not an issue. It's not a simple issue. And given that there is a bigger project on the table, then you'd solve it there.
I thought that's what I said, but obviously I was incoherent, and that's not unusual. Andrew?
Yeah, I think I just struggled to comment on the severity of the practicality issue until I know which way the annual improvement would go.
Tony?
Yeah, probably the same point that Joanna made. I wouldn't isolate the practicality issue. I agree it's there, and that's probably part of the work that Alan's doing, but I think how you interpret 28, even if there wasn't a practicality issue, is also related. And so I would be inclined to say that let's push it off to that work, but just not say anything at the moment through the agenda decision.
Andrew, did your light just get left on? Okay. All right, let me rephrase, taking the last thing that was said as the one I'm most likely to remember. Can I see a show of hands on saying the resolution of this question ought to wait pending what we see coming out of the research project? Which, by the way, is, you say you're coming to May? That's only a couple of months after we would next talk about this anyway. So, show of hands on deferring it over to Alan.
Keep going, keep going.
Laurence, does that count as a hand up or down?
That's not me. I've got a project manager on it.
Well, let me go to the phones first. Sandy?
Yeah, I guess I'm not certain what that does for me, you know, puts it off, but does it really resolve it?
Well, I think it resolves it if the board says one or the other. If it's a one-line consolidation, then we know what the answer is. If it's a measurement, then we know what the answer is.
It's unlikely to issue a rejection notice in May.
But at least we would have a direction from the board come May as to what they think the project would entail. So we'd get something. It's not as timely as if we tried to resolve it on our own. But Sandy, please.
So the question is, should we wait? That's the question.
But basically, yeah.
No, I don't feel that partial. I guess I'm a no.
Okay. Luca?
Sounds good.
I didn't quite get what you said. Sounds good. Okay.
Sounds good, yes.
Wait.
Okay.
Can I just confirm what it is that we are deferring until, when we're deferring until? So it's coming to the board in May. Are we going to then revisit this in July?
If necessary.
Yes. Yeah. So it's a temporary deferral.
Okay. What was the vote?
About 10 in favor.
Okay. That's what we'll do. that make three this meeting that we've handed off? Three issues that we've handed off? Okay.